Well, we're going to read a portion in Ezekiel chapter 22. The book of Ezekiel chapter 22. The Lord uses all the natural things he can to teach us spiritual truths. When he wanted to teach about sowing the gospel seed, he said about a farmer going out and sowing the seed, falling on different types of soil. When he wanted to teach us about prayer, he told us about a woman that kept coming to a certain judge to be avenged of her enemies until he did that. And he uses different natural things to teach us spiritual truths. In this portion in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 18, we read this. Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye are become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin in the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it, so will I gather you in my anger and in my fury. I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. Another verse in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 at verse number 30. Speaking of God's people in the Old Testament, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord has rejected them. Now, silver in the Bible is one of those metals that's a type of redemption. Gold, of course, speaks of that which is divine. Brass, of course, speaks of that which is of judgment. You remember the brazen serpent that Moses hung on the pole? But silver is the metal that seems to speak of redemption. It's used in the Bible in a couple of different ways. It was used for beauty, and it was used for value. I think maybe you ladies, if you have any cookingware or any dishware, that silver is your specialty. And of course, you like to have it all shining and beautiful looking when company comes, and you get out your best silver to use for your company. It was used in the Bible for beauty and for value. You remember Joseph, when he got enthroned with Pharaoh in Egypt, that he had a silver cup that he put in the sack of Benjamin. That was part of his position. And the silver cup, of course, would be beautiful. In the tabernacle, much of it was made from silver. Think of the silver sockets that the boards stood in and so on. And it was used of many of the articles in the temple for beauty and for value or usefulness. It was also used by women. You remember the woman that lost the silver coin in Luke's Gospel chapter 15, and she lost one, and she swept the floor and looked until she found it. So silver, of course, was used for money. They didn't have the bills as we have them today. They would pour silver into a mold. They would take it out of the mold and smooth off the edges, and it went by weight. And if that silver was the proper weight, it was worth so much on the market. So putting it all together, silver in the Bible was for beauty and for value, usefulness. For beauty and for usefulness or value. Now that's exactly what we ought to be for the Lord. Our beauty should be our character. And our value should be our usefulness. If we're pure silver, in other words, then we can be used to the Lord to display the beauty of the Lord, and we can be useful to the Lord. You remember young Timothy was told that if he purged himself from these vessels of dishonor, he would be a vessel that was meet for the master's use. He'd be useful. Now, God's people, they weren't that way in the Bible. Reprobate silver shall men call them because the Lord has rejected them. Their silver was full of dross, waste material. And oftentimes our lives can become the same way. They can be filled up with waste material, spending a lot of our time, wasting a lot of our time, and not using it profitably or not being in a place of usefulness for the Lord. We're going to look at a few things about silver. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 25. In the book of Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 4. We read there in verse number 4, take away the dross from the silver, there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Any refiner of silver has to melt that silver down to take the dross out of it before he can make a vessel that's fit, that's beautiful, and useful. So take away the dross from the silver, there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Look with me in Psalm chapter 12. Silver is full of dross when it's mined. In the 12th Psalm, we read this. In verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. They're like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And I understand from this verse and the silversmith that they have to melt down silver usually seven times to get the dross out of it, get the waste material out of it before they can use it. Look with me in Malachi chapter 4, I think it is, in the book of Malachi chapter 3. The last book in your Old Testament. This is speaking of Israel in a future day. And verse number 3 of Malachi chapter 3. He, God, shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may bring may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. God is a purifier of silver. He's the purifier of his people. So we learn from these verses that silver, when it's mined, it's full of dross. It has to pass through the fire seven times to get the waste material out of it before the silversmith can use it. Now, isn't that like us when we're saved? You know, sometimes when people aren't saved, when they get saved, they think they're going to be perfect. I'm going to be the perfect Christian. My sins are all forgiven. I'm clothed with the righteousness that God has given to me as a gift, and I've got it made. I'm not, I have no more problems. I'm delivered and purified from all my sins. But it doesn't come that way, does it? When we're mined, as silver is mined, our lives are full of dross, waste material. And before the Lord can use us, we have to be melted down in order to get that material, to get the waste material out of our lives. And we don't like that. Job, that man that was perfect and upright in his ways, he still had to be melted down a bit. But Job said, when I am tried, tested, when I go through the fire, I'm going to come forth as gold, pure gold. So when we are saved, we're like silver. We have lives that often got a lot of waste material in it. Now I'm going to give you seven things about silver that ought to be true in our lives. The first one, silver can be melted down to get the dross out of it. I wonder if we can be melted down to get the waste material out of our lives. I think most of us convey the idea we're perfect. We can't be corrected. We have no faults. Although we know deep down we do, but we don't want anybody to tell us about them. Sometimes God has to put us through the fire in order to get that waste material out of our lives. In Isaiah 43 and verse 2, we read, "When thou passest through the fire, I will be with thee, and through the waters I will be with thee." It doesn't say if you pass through, it says when you pass through. The Lord Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, "In the world ye shall have tribulations." He didn't say you might, he said you would. We don't often like to go through the fire. We don't like that purging. And yet if we're going to be a vessel fit and meet for the Master's use, the Lord's got to get the dross out of my life and your life. Sometimes we want the Lord to make us. We want Him to mold us. But we don't want Him to melt us. The word bishop in the Bible, and of course the word elder, is the same person. But the difference in the word is simply this. A bishop in the secular realm was a man that went into a country that had been overthrown and was sort of bankrupt. And he went into this particular country as a supervisor in order to reestablish the government of that. And of course, when it got reestablished, he went on his way. And the story is told of a particular bishop or general that went into a Grecian country to do that very thing. The first thing a country needs that's bankrupt is money. So they had to look around to see if they could find anything to make money out of, silver, gold. And the report was that there was nothing that they could use in the country to make gold out of, but some of the saints in a heathen temple, some of the statues that were made out of silver. So the general said, take the saints and melt them down, and we'll put them into circulation. That's the most needed thing in my life and your life. We need to be melted down. Not made, not molded, but melted. God can't make us and mold us unless we're melted down and the dross is taken out of our lives. So silver can be melted down to take the dross out of it. Can your life, my life, be melted down? How do we react to adversities and troubles that come our way? Maybe they're God's way of melting us down. In James chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or testings." Do we do that? That's the only way God can get the dross out of our lives. He has to melt us down. "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, testings. For the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work." In 1 Peter 1 and 7 it says that the trial of your faith, not your faith, that's precious too, but the testing of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire. And the trials and testings of life is God's way of melting us down and taking the dross out of our lives. Silver can be melted down to take the dross out of it. Now once it's melted down, another characteristic of silver is that it can be hammered very, very thin. It can be hammered down to 1/1000th of an inch. And that's very, very thin. It can take a lot of hammering, a lot of beating. I think of Paul in that connection in 2 Corinthians, I think it is, in chapter 11. If there was any man that was ever hammered down very thin, it was Paul. He says in chapter 11 of the book of 2 Corinthians, he says in verse number 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labor, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequent. In death, often. At death, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep." Quite a pounding. Quite a pounding. "In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, perils of the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, and in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting cold, often, and cold and nakedness." Quite a hammering. Quite a pounding. And yet it's all part of God making that man, melting him down, molding him, and making him a chosen vessel to go to the Gentile world, a vessel meet and fit for the master's use. How do we react to the problems that come in our lives? I was in Montreal a while ago, and I was visiting a sister, and she had broken her leg. And I was telling her, I said, "You know, did you ever stop to thank the Lord that you didn't break both legs?" It's important, isn't it? Somebody's got a bad knee. They need an operation. But the other knee's okay. Did you ever thank the Lord for the other knee that's okay? We have an accident. We wonder, why did that ever happen to me? Did you ever thank the Lord for the many times you never had an accident? You remember, I probably told this story before, but it'll bear repeating because it illustrates it so well. Matthew Henry lived many years ago, used to walk from a little church to his home after meetings at night. And this particular night, he was walking along this path. He was confronted with a robber that robbed him. And he always had a habit at the end of the day to thank the Lord for everything that happened that day. To find something to thank the Lord for everything that happened that day. Now, if you were to go out of here and be confronted by a robber and he robbed you, what would you thank the Lord for? We'd complain and groan, and why did this happen to me? Well, he thanked the Lord for 4 things. First, he thanked the Lord he'd walked that path many, many times. He'd never been robbed before. He'd never thanked the Lord for that. But this robbery caused him to thank the Lord for the many times that he traveled that path and it was never robbed before. Secondly, he thanked the Lord that he was not hurt, robbed and not hurt, because he was an old man and he could have been beat up. Thirdly, he thanked the Lord that the robber didn't get much because he didn't have much to lose. And fourthly, and best of all, he thanked the Lord he was robbed and not the robber. But for the grace of God, he could have been the robber. You can always find something to thank the Lord for. It doesn't matter what adversities come in your life. That's God's way of putting you through the fire. That's God's way of taking the dross out of your life. The Bible does not say that this thing works for good to them that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. It says all things work together for good to them that call on all things put together. We might not understand it all, but God does. And he puts all those things together, and that's taking the dross out of our lives, melting us down, molding us, and making us a vessel fit and meet for the master's use. So, silver, number one, can be melted down to get the dross out of it. Every Christian, we should be willing to be melted down to get the waste material out of our lives. It can be hammered very thin. It can take the adversities of life. Thirdly, It's very, very strong once it's purified. In fact, it will hold 188 pounds per square inch. It's a very strong metal. And that's the way a Christian is that's gone through the mill, if I could use those terms. Some of the best Christians I've ever known have been those that had the most troubles in their lives. Any old jellyfish can go down the stream, but it takes a real fish to turn against the tide and stem the tide. Once the dross is taken out of our lives, once we're melted down, once we're hammered down very thin, we become purified like silver is purified. And it makes us very, very strong. Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he speaks about a thorn in the flesh that was really giving him a lot of trouble. But when he found out that God didn't want that thorn removed, he could say, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. Say that double talk. No, it really isn't. When Paul got to the place where he realized his own limitations, then he was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then he could sing, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Because he had been purified, hammered thin, and he'd been melted down to get some of the waste material out of his life, and he'd become very strong. Some time back, some young people got together one Sunday night after meeting. They want to know what they could do about peer pressure at school. And I told them, I said, you shouldn't have any peer pressure at school. You should be the peer pressure. The Christian is the peer pressure and should be the peer pressure in the world. Sometimes people say, well, I could never go like you fellas and knock on doors and talk to people about the Lord. I could never stand the pressure. Listen, the pressure isn't on you. It's on the one opening the door. That's where the pressure is. You are the pressure. You shouldn't be under pressure. You are the pressure. That's when you're purified and made strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You are the peer pressure. So silver can be melted down to get the dross out of it, can be hammered very thin, and it can be and when it's purified, it can be very strong. Fourthly, one of the two tests of a silversmith is that it has a clear ring to it when it's struck. When you strike a silver utensil, you can hear a real clear ring to it. I wonder if that happens to us. When somebody reminds us of some of our faults, or somebody crosses us, or somebody says something mean about us, how do we react? Far more important in your life and my life isn't how we act. It's how we react to things. That brings out the genuine character of a Christian. You remember what the Lord Jesus said, if somebody slaps you on one side of the cheek, how are you to react? Turn the other side. Somebody compelled you to go a mile, how are you to react? Go the second mile. Somebody wanted your coke, give them your coke also. Do we do that? How do we react? Do we have a clear ring to us when we're struck? That's very important. How we react to the adversities of life. We're to overcome evil with good. We're not to render evil for evil. We're to overcome evil with good. It's important how we react. I remember being at Moncton University some time back visiting somebody, and there was a young lady there back to the parking lot, and she bumped into the back of my car, made a little dent in the back of my car. I went out there, and she was standing there all bothered and really afraid. And I looked at my car, and she said something like, "I'm willing to pay for the damage." I said, "No, ma'am, that's all right. It's just an accident. Just take this little tract, God's Way of Salvation, and read it. That's all the pay I want." That's the way to react. Not because I did it, but that's the proper reaction. I remember not long ago an unsaved fellow at our meetings, and he backed his truck out and hooked in my bumper of my Toyota car. And he was afraid. He came back in and he said, "I bumped your car." And I went out and I looked at his truck, and it was all dented down the whole side of it, and just a little bit of my bumper. And he didn't know what I was going to say. His truck was a Ford. And I said to him, I said, "Gaber, I said, a Ford ought to know better than to tangle with a Toyota. They get the worst of it every time." And it put him right at ease. He thought I was going to get upset over an old car that's likely in the junkyard now, that's only a piece of rust anyway. I was going to get all upset over that. And then, of course, I added for his benefit, "I think it was your wife's fault anyway. She was sitting in the front." So, how we react. Do we have a clear ring to us when we're struck? That's one of the tests. Fifthly, silver takes a good polish and a shine. That's another test of the silversmith. I understand they melt silver in a big pot, and when they can see their face in the silver, then the gloss is all over it. I wonder if the Lord Jesus can look at your life and my life and see his face in our lives. Only if we've been melted down and hammered thin and purified and got a good clear ring to it, that's the only way he's going to see his face in us. That's the only way we're going to be a shining and a burning light in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. You know, the first thing in the New Testament the Lord said that he would do for his people, he said, "I'll make you fishers of men." Then he said, "This is what you are. Ye are the light, ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world." We're not going to be the salt of the earth if the salt has lost its savor. We're not going to be the salt of the earth if the silver is full of dross, the waste material. If our lives are all occupied with the world and the things of the world, and we're pursuing the same goals as the world is pursuing, we're not going to be a light of the salt of the earth. And we're not going to be a light of the world. We're not going to be shining for the Lord. Our light is not going to be shining before men. Silver takes a good shine and a good polish. It has a clear ring to it when it's done. Sixthly, silver is a good conductor of heat and of power. I don't know anything about electricity, but I know these little circuit boards on these computers and all this, gadgets, have a lot of silver there. It's a good conductor of heat and of power. That flows through silver very nicely. And our lives should be like that. You know, we're giving off a fragrance everywhere we are. Unsaved people do that. Saved people do that. The people involved deeply in the occult, they carry that influence with them. That's why it's best to stay clear of those people. And we ought to be the same. We ought to be a good conductor of the love of God and the power of God to those people that we're brushing shoulders with every day at work or wherever it might be. And 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "We're a savor of life unto life and death unto death. Them that are saved, life unto life. Those that are unsaved, death unto death." A Christian should carry a fragrance about them. There should be a testimony without saying a word. Say it, yes. But you should be one first. Sometimes people have said, what you are speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say. And that's often the truth. When people can look at my life, my neighbors can look at me, and your neighbors can look at you, and they can see something of Christ and some reality in our lives, then that love of God and that power of God will flow out to them. But if we're silver that's full of dross, waste material, that's not going to be true. Silver is very beautiful when it's refined. But it's very ugly when it's not. It's a good conductor of heat and of power. We read of the early Christians. There are three characteristics of the early Christians in the book of Acts. They were a powerful people. They were a praying people. And they were a preaching people. Remember, they were told to stay in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. In Luke 24, verse 47. And in Acts 1 and 8, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, ye shall receive power and be witnesses unto me. And with that power they went out. They prayed and they received that power and they went out to preach the gospel. And they saw many, many people saved. They were good conductors of heat and of power. They had to be put through the mill. They had to be melted down. And we have to be melted down. God is using me and He's using you all that He can. He can't use us anymore until some of the chaff and some of the dross gets out of our lives and we give more place to Him in our lives. We can't be filled with the Spirit of God and filled with the things of self and the things of the world at the same time. It doesn't work. We are filled as much as God can fill us. We're being used of God all He can use us until we become that silver that's willing to go through the fire and be melted down, hammered down very thin, so that we can be purified and strong, have a good clear ring to us when we're struck, have a good shine and a good polish to our lives, and then we'll be a conductor of heat and power. Lastly, silver will not rust out. I remember an old colored preacher one time, very old. I remember asking him if he was still preaching. Oh, yes, he said, brother, I don't want to rust out, I want to wear out. And a Christian should never rust out. As the prophet said, we should bear fruit in our old age. We should never rust out, be passive, doing absolutely nothing. Christians should burn out or wear out, but not rust out. Silver will not rust. So remember these beautiful characteristics of silver. When it's mined, it's full of dross. When we're saved, we're full of dross. We can be melted down and hammered out very thin if we let the Lord do that. And when we do that, we'll be very strong and purified and strong and useful to the Lord. We'll have a clear ring to us when we're struck. We'll take a good shine and a polish. We'll be a good conductor of heat and power. And we won't rust out. We'll be useful. Right to the end of our days. Let me ask you, and I ask myself, are we letting the Lord melt us down to get some of that waste material out of our lives? Our lives are often filled up with things that are getting us away from the Lord. You know, the most dangerous thing in your life is the thing you like the most. I'm not talking about the things of the Lord, the things of the world. If it's clothing, it could get you away from the Lord. If it's music, it can get you away from the Lord. If you don't control that thing, it'll get you away from the Lord. It can become dross in your lives. In Luke chapter 14, you remember a man had bought a yoke of oxen. Nothing wrong with buying a yoke of oxen if you're a farmer. But that thing got him away from the Lord. He missed the great supper. Another one had married a wife. Nothing wrong with that, as long as there's nobody else's wife. Nothing wrong with that. But it got him away from, it got them away from the Lord. Another one had bought some merchandise. A piece of land, I guess. He had to go see it. Those things got him away from the Lord. And things that are not necessarily wrong in themselves can be the one thing that fills our lives up with dross and waste material. Are we willing to let the Lord melt down our lives and take anything out of our lives that's hindering Him from making us a vessel fit and meet for the Master's use? Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to Thee to confess that we fall so far short of being purified as silver is pure. We ever pray to exercise each one of our lives and point out to us those things in our lives that are hindering the working of Thy Holy Spirit and Thy Word in purifying us and making us a people zealous of good works, a vessel that's fit and meet for the Master's use. So we ask Thy hand to be good upon each one of us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.